First Peter chapter 5, and reading several verses here, two verses actually, beginning at the 8th. You'll be surprised to see the message that God gave me for this morning. Be sober. That is to be alert is the idea here. To be not silly and goofy. Be sober and be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, how many of you know we have an adversary? He's our enemy. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking, always looking for someone that he can eat up. He's voracious. He has an insatiable appetite for destruction. We quoted John 10:10 here where Jesus said, "The thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and destroy." He is a destroyer, he is a robber, and he is ultimately a killer. He's a murderer, and he is a liar. Jesus said the truth is not in him. He's a liar from the beginning, and he doesn't know how to tell the truth. He tells just enough truth to make his lies believable. Now, we have an adversary. We shouldn't be surprised at this. He's walking about looking for somebody he may devour. Paul said, "Let him that standeth take heed lest he fall." And so just because we happen to be standing strong at the moment does not mean that we won't be under major attack the next. And it does not mean that there are not circumstances that are operating in our lives right now that are part of the devil's plan for wickedness and evil in our lives. The situation with our brother, here's a next door neighbor who's a professing Christian who has been dying of cancer for some lengthy period of time. He gets himself up out of his sick bed. He gets his wife to drive him all the way to Akron, Ohio, to the church of Ernest Angley. Some of you have you know Ernest Angley. How many of you know Ernest Angley? Know of him? I haven't seen him on TV in a long time, but he's been a long time active. And he went there to receive prayer for healing. And we understand Phil's concern as he watches this man suffer with this disease. And he watches him express what he believes is faith, and perhaps is as high as his faith will rise for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't understand all those things. But he... And when he sees the sacrifice that he makes and the fact that he and his wife would drive all the way to Akron, Ohio, simply to get prayer from somebody in whom he believes is the anointing to get him healed. Now, you and I know that faith will heal just as easily on Coral Lane as it does in Akron, Ohio. Don't we? Now, the only reason for Akron, Ohio, and for Ernest Angley is to raise the level of faith. Do you understand the point? That if a person believed that that's where he could get it, that it would come through from God, but through Mr. Angley, and his faith was at a level. Jesus said that without faith, with faith, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. Now, either there's something lacking in what we're believing, or God's a liar. I said that today, you know, and our brother knows that. But what has been happening in his life is the devil's been setting him up for this day, and he's been setting him up for years. He's been setting him up for a long time. And he finally got him to the place where he slammed the door on him. And that's what happened today. He's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, looking for somebody. Could he be looking for you? Well, what do? We go run and hide our head on the sand like an ostrich? Do we run, look, find a cave and roll a stone in behind us? What do we do? How do we deal with that? I mean, let's face it. This is a formidable enemy. This is not an enemy to be played with. This is not an enemy to be just cast off as insignificant. This is a formidable enemy. This is an enemy that took, even though it was the plan of God, took the Son of God to the grave. A formidable foe. Not to be trifled with. And not to be underestimated. But the word of God is clear in verse 9. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. Resist! Steadfast in the faith. We have all had opportunities, and we will have them in the future. We will have opportunities to walk away from our faith. We will have opportunities to get angry at God. We will have opportunities to accuse Him of things He is not responsible for. Just because He has the ability to do something does not mean that He's obligated to perform it at our behest. He is only obligated to do what He promised He would do under the circumstances that He promised He would do them, clearly exhibited here in the Word of God. You see, this is something that we must understand. He's God, not us. He tells us what to do. We don't tell Him what to do. Let's get this right. You see, man is not the center of the universe. He's the daddy. We're the kid. Now, very much in our culture obscures that. Children run homes, run families. The kids run the world. And so when those kids grow up, they figure we ought to run God too. Whom resist? Steadfast, staunch in the faith. God, I don't understand this. I knelt beside my father's bed. My father had just completed 70 years. He was about less than a month past his 70th birthday. He was dying of prostate cancer. He was bedfast. He's my father, for goodness sake. I love him. I care for him deeply. But I don't love him as much as God does. You understand? I prayed for my father. I anointed him with oil. The family gathered around. We sang and worshiped God. We prayed together for him. Had been praying for him for some time. On that last day, he died early December. I saw him on Thanksgiving, just a couple of weeks before he died. And I said to him, kneeling beside his bed, I said, Dad, I said, what could I do for you? How would you like for me to pray? He said, my dad was a Presbyterian, but he was a man of the word. He caused a lot of trouble in his Presbyterian church because of it. You know. But he also brought a lot of blessing to his church. I don't know if anybody else in his church had ever done this, but he went to the elders, his fellow elders, and the pastor, and had them anoint him with oil. He had prayed himself. We prayed for him. He said, son, I've done everything I know to do. I don't know anything else to do. And he said, I want God to heal me. But if that does not happen, then I'm asking him to be merciful and take me home. Now, I think you can understand how a man would feel in that circumstance. But now let's face it here. This is my dad, okay? Let's face it. Was my dad believing God for his healing? No, he was not. He was hoping for it. He was wishing for it. He was desiring it intensely. But he was not believing for it. Do you understand the difference here? Or he never would have said. See, faith is expressed with the mouth. He never would have said. And I understood that as I knelt beside his bed and I wanted him to believe, and I wanted to lift his faith, and I wanted, but what can you do? I mean, it's his body and it's his life. If I come visit you in the hospital and we pray together, I'm going to ask you, how do you want me to pray? And I'm going to listen to your answer. And then that's the way I'll pray. If you say, well, I want the doctors to have wisdom and to know what they're doing and so on, then I'm going to pray that and believe that. We'll agree together on that. There's no sense in my asking God to raise you off that deathbed. I mean, I'll still ask him in my private prayer because I know that's his highest and best, and I know that's what you really would want. But if your faith isn't working at that level, what I'm going to ask God for is I'm going to ask him for what you and I can agree on, recognizing that he can work through that too, and does. And doctors and medicines and so on, they're all in the business of healing the same as God is. But beloved, what happens when we get something the doctor can't do and when we get something the medicine can't do? So this isn't something that is... Those of us who teach and proclaim and believe that what the Bible says about faith is true accuse us of intimidating others because you're saying, well, you just don't believe. But the fact is, that's the truth. And Jesus said that. I mean, he said it. I'm simply repeating what he said. And that's what our brother didn't understand here this morning. And the devil's gotten a hold of his mental processes and his emotions, and he won't grab that. And he thinks that he is a better judge. This is what the devil is telling him. This is the root. He thinks he's a better judge of faith than God is. Because what he has done is judged God as being unfaithful. Now, you and I know whose lie that is. See? That does not come out of our brother's heart. I know him better than that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And of course, that's why the Holy Ghost responded the way he did this morning to you. Now, when those attacks come, and they will come into everybody's life. In fact, verse 9 says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, you know, these things aren't unusual. We all have them. Here's a man who... And perhaps this is unfair to make this comparison, but I don't know any other way to make the point. We make the point out of life's examples. Here's a man who has a deep affection and very much love for his neighbor. And because of a disappointment there, he has, of course, the man's not dead yet either. But because of the disappointment there, he is in the danger of losing his faith. Here is another man who lost his father in similar circumstances, but at the funeral I could rejoice. I preached my father's funeral and rejoiced in it. Not in his death, but in the victory that he has, if you understand what I mean. So here are two reactions to a similar circumstance. What's the difference? We all go through situations like this, and we all have opportunities to either believe God or to not believe God. I choose to believe him. Now, I know I'm going to have other opportunities, and I know I'm going to have some other situations that perhaps will try me at a deeper level than I have been tried to this point. But I also know that I will come through. I will know that he will hold me. Why? Because he's able to save to the uttermost. I believe he'll hold our brother because he's able to save to the uttermost. I believe he'll hold him. Now, he may struggle for a while, and he may be mad as a hornet at me. And he knows I love him, but he's embarrassed about what happened, and he's embarrassed about his actions and so on and so forth, and couldn't stay, and the devil just drive him out of here. But I don't believe that be the last we see him. I pray that that will not be the case. I don't believe it will be. Now, James, let's go to James. And as I'm speaking to you this morning, I'm taking advantage of the circumstance here because I think this is exactly how Jesus taught. He taught out of the situations of life. This is how we learn the best. James chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 6 prefaces this by saying, he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Where do we figure we know better than God does? I mean, that's the epitome of pride, isn't it? We know the root of that too. That's the devil, pure and simple. He is the epitome of pride. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Why should we submit ourselves to God? Because he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So what should we do in a circumstance that we don't understand? We say, Lord, I don't understand this fully, and I really don't like what's happening here. But I know that you're a good God, and I know that you love us, and I know that your plan is good, and I know, I trust you. I don't understand it, and I don't like it, but I trust you. That's submitting yourself to him, submitting to the authority. That's like a child who says to his father, who has the rod in his hand and is having a discussion with his son for his disobedience. Son, do you understand why I'm going to give you the rod? No, I don't. I hear what you're saying, but I don't understand why you're giving me the rod. Well, I'm giving it to you because you need it, and I love you, and this is going to be good for you, and so on and so forth. No, it isn't. I know better than you do, and, you know, it's the attitude of a child. As opposed to, how would you like to get this from your son? Well, Dad, I don't fully understand it. I don't agree with it. It's going to hurt like sin. But I submit myself to you. Go ahead. Wouldn't you love to have children like that? Now, see, kids like that don't need it very often, do they? Is that right? But see, that's what this is. Submit yourself, therefore, to God, because he gives grace to the humble. No, son, it's okay. You understand. It won't be necessary to lay the wood to you today. He gives grace to the humble, but yet to the one that says, like this, huh? What does Daddy do in that case? Grab him by the scruff of the neck and bend him over and give him two for resisting. Besides the two he's going to get for the infraction. Is that not right? Some of the kids are laughing. Some of the kids have tuned me out right now. I mean, they just said, I'm out of here, man. Brother Phil, how about taking me with you? But this is the principle. This is the principle. Submit yourself to God. Submit to his providence, to his sovereignty, to his love, to his mercy, to his wisdom. Submit ourselves to that. In his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. What do we really believe? When things are going well, you know, all the bills are paid, we got money in the bank, and our mutual funds are going through the roof, and the wife loves us, and the dog is having $600 puppies, and we are really in it, you know. We are up to our eyeballs in blessing. It is so easy to come to the house of the gods. Oh, Ancient of Days, hallelujah. I believe you, I trust you. But what do you think when you're kneeling beside the bed of your dying father, or when you're standing over the crib of a child that you don't know whether he's going to make it or not, or when your husband comes home and says he's found somebody else, or when you lose your job, or you... God, you could change us, and why didn't you? Is that what we believe? Is that the way we act? Is that what we've learned? Is that what it means to be a child of God?